ليس على الضعفاء ولا على المرضى ولا على الذين لا يجدون ما ينفقون حرج. There is not upon the weak or upon the ill or upon those who do not find anything to spend any discomfort. Now, after mentioning the mu'adhirun, the people with fake excuses or people who come and present excuses that are not acceptable, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions those who are truly excused, those people whose excuses are genuine and hence accepted, which means that if they do not go for jihad, then they're not blameworthy, they're not sinful, and so neither should they feel bad, nor should they be made to feel bad by others. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions three types of people over here, that laysa ala al-du'afa, there is not upon, first of all, al-du'afa. Secondly, wala ala al-marda, nor is there upon the sick. Third, wala ala al-ladina la yajiduna ma yunfiqoon, nor is there upon those who do not find what they can spend. What is not there for these three people? Harajun. Any discomfort, meaning any sin. They're not sinful if they remain behind from jihad fi sabilillah. So this ayah exempts three types of people from participating in jihad. And these are the people who have a valid excuse. The first category is of who? Al-du'afa. Du'afa is the plural of da'if. And da'if is someone who is weak. And here the weakness is of course in what? In the body, or can also be in the mind to some extent, because of which a person is not able to learn or do anything. Basically, du'afa are those who lack the strength to go forth and fight. Because da'if is the opposite of qawi. Qawi is who? Someone who is strong and capable. They have the strength to do something. So da'if is the one who lacks the strength to go for jihad, to participate in jihad. And why is it that they lack the strength? It could be because of some physical impairment. Okay, like for example, blindness, deafness. A person is an amputee. It could also be on account of old age. All right. So du'afa are those who are too weak. They do not have the strength to go for jihad, to participate in jihad. The second category is of al-marda. Al-marda, plural of marid. And marid is someone who is unwell. So marda are different from du'afa. Du'afa, their condition is permanent. Okay. If someone is blind, if they're an amputee, their limb is not going to grow back, right? If someone is extremely old, their age is not going to be reversed. Okay, but marid is someone who is experiencing an illness. Okay, and yes, it's possible that that illness is temporary. It's possible that they recover from it within a week or so. But given that they are sick at the time of jihad, they are exempted from jihad. Okay, and what kind of illness is this? This is every type of illness that makes a person unable to travel and engage in jihad. So for example, even if it's a high fever, a person could be very strong and capable, but if they have a fever, they have a fever. They're not able to even get up. They have chills in their body, such aches in their body, a high temperature, because of which they're not able to get up and walk. So how can it be expected from them that they go for jihad? All right. So because they are ill at this time, this is why they are exempted from the battle. Also, it could be that a person is ill because of some injury. Like, for example, a person has broken their arm. And yes, there's, hope that they will recover, but it will take time. It will take several weeks, maybe months. And so because of their injury, they're not able to go. Okay. Now, in the category of marda, the caretakers of marda are also included, because those who are ill need someone to take care of them, depending on their illness. So if there is nobody else who can look after the ill, then even if a person is capable of going for jihad, they will not go. They will be exempted from going. Because if they go, then what's going to happen to the marda who are dependent on them? Their condition will deteriorate. And this is not correct. This is like how during the Battle of Badr, Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu could not join. Okay, he could not join. Why? Because his wife the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ruqayyah radiyallahu anha, was seriously ill. So he could not leave his wife in that condition. And she passed away by the time that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam returned. Okay? Yes. The question is that, does this also include the caretakers of the weak? Absolutely. But again, every situation is different. Like, for example, there were companions who had elderly parents. And when they asked permission to go for jihad, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not allow them. The reason being that their elderly parents were dependent on them, right? They're du'afa and they are dependent on their caretaker. So if the son goes, then who's going to take care of the elderly parents? All right. But if, for example, there are multiple caretakers, there's five brothers who together look after their parents, then three can go, two can stay, right? So any caretakers are also exempted. All right. The third category that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions is الَّذِينَ لَا يَجِدُونَ مَا يُنْفِقُونَ, those who do not find what they can spend. لَا يَجِدُونَ, وَجَدَ يَجِدُ is to find something, meaning they do not have and cannot get anything which they can spend sufficiently for this battle. So they don't have the means. They don't have the financial resources required for jihad. Okay? So they have no provisions to take along with them on the journey. They don't have means of transportation. They don't have a mount. They are fuqara. They have no weapons with which they can fight. They can't afford it. So they're fuqara, meaning they're lacking the wealth and the means. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions regarding these three categories that there is no haraj on them. Haraj means any constriction. When a person basically feels uncomfortable in their heart, they're experiencing discomfort in their heart. And this is why the word haraj is used synonymously with ithm, sin, or crime. Okay, why? Because it is an act of disobedience for which a person feels distress in their heart, right? They feel bad. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it clear over here that there is no haraj on them. Laysa alayhim, upon these people, any haraj. There's no sin on them. They're not being sinful when they remain behind from jihad. But still we see, subhanAllah, that Abdullah ibn Maktum, radiallahu anhu, who was blind, not able to see, he came at one occasion insisting that he wants to participate in jihad. How was he supposed to participate in jihad? Because if you cannot see the enemy, who are you fighting? How are you fighting? Right? And even if you were to shoot an arrow, like, it could land on the wrong person because you don't know who you are targeting. So he said, just let me carry the flag. Let me be the flag bearer. SubhanAllah. And even that, if you think about it, was so dangerous for him because, again, he could be struck from anywhere. He wouldn't know if an arrow is coming his way. How would he duck? How would he shield himself? But he still wanted to go. He insisted on going. We also learn about Amr ibn al-Jamuh, right? He was someone who could not walk properly due to a limp in his leg. And when he insisted that he wants to go for jihad, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him that Allah has excused you due to your leg. And he responded that I wish to enter Jannah limping. I don't want to be left behind. SubhanAllah, this is who the companions were. So dedicated. They literally exchanged their lives, everything they had, for Jannah. So for such people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, there is no blame. There is no haraj. And this ayah is one of the primary texts that teaches us the principle of our sharia, that la wajiba ma'al ajz, that there is no obligation in the case of inability. Right? Meaning where a person is incapable of doing something, they're too weak to do something, they're not able to do something, then they're not obligated to do it. Okay? Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not burden people beyond their capacity. لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا. Right? So imagine a person does not have the physical capacity or the financial capability of going for jihad. And if they go, they can't even go, right? And because they're staying behind, they feel that they're committing a sin and they're feeling shame. And other people are also making them feel ashamed of themselves. This is unfair. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not unfair. So remember, where a person is incapable of doing something, then there is no obligation over there. Right? Exactly. Like Hajj also. Hajj is obligated on who? مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. And if a person is not able to make the journey of Hajj, then Hajj is not obligatory on them. Right? They're not sinful if they die without making Hajj. All right. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a condition that yes, there is no blame on them, but there's a condition. إِذَا نَصَحُوا لِلَّهِ وَرَسُولِي. When they are sincere to Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is the condition. That while they're staying behind, and they are exempted from going for jihad, in their hearts should be sincerity for Allah and His Messenger. There should be nasiha, nusr, which is what? That a person is sincere, as in genuinely concerned. They have true faith, right? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Ad-dinu an-nasiha." Religion is about an-nasiha. The deen is an-nasiha, meaning sincerity, genuine concern, and your heart has to be aligned with, it has to be on the side of who? Allah, His Book, His Messenger, the Muslims, right? Their leaders and their common folk. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam explained, not that a person harbors ill feelings, or that a person wants ill, bad to happen to the Muslims. No, a person genuinely cares, is genuinely concerned, is sincere. So, إِذَا نَصَحُوا لِلَّهِ وَرَسُولِي. And part of this sincerity is that a person, and he believes in their heart and has that intention that if Allah gives me the ability, I will not stay back. If Allah gives me the ability, I will not stay back. So, إِذَا نَصَحُوا لِلَّهِ وَرَسُولِي. So the main thing is, what is in their heart? What do they feel about the deen of Allah? What do they feel about Allah? What do they feel about the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam? And part of this is, in hadith we learn, nasiha is also to the Muslims, the leaders and their common folk. So how do they feel about the mujahideen? A person themselves is not able to participate in jihad. Okay, but then how do you feel for the mujahideen? Do you pray for them? Are you sincere for them? Do you care about them? Do you support them in ways that you can? إِذَا نَصَحُوا لِلَّهِ وَرَسُولِي. And those who have a valid excuse, right? They, subhanAllah, even though they have a valid excuse because of which they're not able to go, given their sincerity, given their love, given their dedication, they still get the reward. SubhanAllah, there's a hadith in Sahih Bukhari in which we learn that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was returning from Tabuk, he said that indeed there are people in Medina who did not travel any path nor traverse any valley, yet they were with you. They were in Medina. They were not here for any part of the journey to Tabuk or back, but they were with you, meaning in terms of reward. They got the same reward. And the people were shocked. They said, O Messenger of Allah, while being in Medina, they were in Medina? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes, they were in Medina. حَبَسَهُمُ الْعُذْرُ. Their excuse prevented them from joining. And had it not been for that genuine excuse, they would have come. And yes, we were gone, but their hearts were constantly attached to us. So the main thing is, we need to look inside. Where is our heart? Do we feel connected with those who are struggling in the way of Allah? Or do we feel detached from them? We feel that, oh, I can't take this. It's too difficult for me to even see or to even hear about what's happening. How sad that a person does not know, is not there, and does not care. Completely deprived. The least is that our hearts should be in the right place. That we care, genuinely care, for those who are striving in the way of Allah. That our hearts are attached to them. We love them. We honor them. We care for them. We pray for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا عَلَى الْمُحْسِنِينَ مِنْ سَبِيلٍ. There is no path for reproach on who? On al-muhsineen. Those who do ihsan, those who are muhsineen, in ways that they're able to do ihsan, like for example, okay, a person is blind, they're not able to go, fine, but they're still able to pray, they're still able to give sadaqah, they're still able to speak a good word, right? A person cannot afford to go for jihad, okay, but they can still, be there for others, and help them physically, say a good word, say a supportive word. Those who do ihsan in general, those who do good, And ihsan includes ihsan in worship and also ihsan towards the creation of Allah. So those who do good, and this means whatever good that they are able to do, okay, not beyond what they are capable of, but what they are able to do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says there's no sabil against them. No sabil as in no path for reproach, no way of reproach. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not hold them blameworthy, nor should people hold them blameworthy. All right? So this shows us that if someone is a muhsin, this is a very beautiful ayah. If someone is a muhsin, yani a doer of good, all right? And then comes a situation where they are unable to do something, right? Or unintentionally, yani they do something, then at that time, they're going to be excused. Why? Because they are a muhsin. Okay? Like, for example, in general, one of your kids helps you in the kitchen, does the dishes really well. Great. And then what happens? One day they're putting the dishes away and one dish breaks. Are you going to be upset? No, because you know that they're careful. And this was a genuine mistake. This was unintentional. But if there happens to be somebody who is not very careful, and instead of putting the dishes, they throw them. Instead of handling them carefully and responsibly, they are very rough. Then what happens when you see a chip on one and you see a crack on another, and then it's a second day in a row that another dish has broken, third day in a row, then what happens? You get upset and you give consequences, right? So those who are muhsinin, those who do good in general, you are supposed to show pardon to them and you're supposed to be forgiving towards them when they unintentionally do something wrong. مَا عَلَى الْمُحْسِنِينَ مِنْ سَبِيلٍ. And this shows us that if a person is not a muhsin in general, then yes, when they do something wrong, even if it's unintentional, then what happens? You give them consequences. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. And Allah is forgiving and merciful. He gives hope over here so that people don't despair of His mercy. Allah is forgiving and merciful towards who? Towards the muhsinin. Towards those who have genuine, valid excuses. Two names are mentioned over here, Ghafoor and Rahim. Ghafoor, forgiving towards them, meaning he pardons them for what? For not going for jihad. Which means that where going for jihad is great, not going for jihad, when a person is capable, is sinful. But in this case, because they have a valid excuse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives them. And not just that, He is Rahim, He is merciful. How so? That He also rewards them with the reward of jihad, even though they did not go for jihad, because it was only on account of their weakness or inability that they did not go. If they could go, they would have gone already. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the condition of their heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the firmness of their intention. Wallahu ghafoorur rahim. How merciful is our Lord. How generous is our Lord. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wala 'ala alladhina. Nor upon those who, meaning nor is there any blame against those who, إِذَا مَا أَتَوْكَ. So basically another group is being exempted over here. And technically this is part of the third group, those who do not find what they can spend. So it's an elaboration of that, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically mentions this over here. And there is no blame on who? Those who, إِذَا مَا أَتَوْكَ, when they come to you. Meaning when they come to you, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? لِتَحْمِلَهُمْ. So that you provide a mount for them. تَحْمِلَ from حَمِيمْ لَمْ. حَمَلَ is to carry. And here it means that you give them something on which they can ride. Okay? So why do they come to you asking you for a ride? Because they don't have any. They cannot afford it. But when they came to you asking you for a ride, what happened? قُلْتَ, you said, meaning, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, la ajidu ma ahmilukum alayh. I do not find what I can mount you all on. Meaning, I don't have any animals to give you that you can use for transportation on this journey. So basically that meant for them that they cannot go because neither do they have any means of transportation themselves, nor did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam provide them with any means of transportation when they asked him. And why is it that the Prophet ﷺ did not give it to them? Because he did not have any either. لا أجد ما أحملكم عليه, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not own the treasures of the world. He did not have power over the treasures of the world. He could not fulfill every need of people because his means were also limited. He could only distribute what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him. So قلت لا أجد ما أحملكم عليه. But they were so sincere to and so eager to go that تولوا, they turned away, meaning when he refused, they turned away. While وَأَعْيُنُهُمْ تَفِيضُ مِنَ الدَّمْعِ, their eyes were pouring forth with tears. أَعْيُن, plural of عَيْن, تَفِيضُ, فَيْضَان is the overflowing of water. So the tears were pouring down from their eyes, مِنَ الدَّمْعِ. Why were they crying? حَزَنًا, due to grief, due to sadness. Why were they so sad? أَلَّا يَجِدُ مَا يُنْفِقُونَ, that they do not find what they can spend. This was their cause of sadness, that they could not find anything that they could spend that would enable them to go for jihad fi sabilillah. And they really, really wanted to go, and they could not afford to go. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also did not have anything for them, it meant that they really could not go. So they were really heartbroken. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes their tears over here and the sadness, that the sorrow, the distress that they felt. Subhanallah. Earlier we learned about people who were happy to stay behind. رَضُوا بِأَن يَكُونُوا مَعَ الْخَوَالِفِ. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes those who wanted to go so badly that they were crying that they were not able to go. Now, such people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it clear that they incur no blame whatsoever. They're not sinful. There's a hadith in Sahih Bukhari in which we learn Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu. Remember that him and his companions, they had traveled to Medina all the way from Yemen, and they were a category of muhajirun, those who had emigrated to Medina. They did not have any families there. They did not have any resources, any wealth. They depended on charity, essentially. Anyway, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu and his companions, they really wanted to go for Tabuk. Now, they did not have the means of transportation. So what happened? They decided to send Abu Musa to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to ask him for some means of transportation for him and also his companions. So when he came, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "By Allah, I don't have anything for you. I will not give you anything." And the reason why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that is because he was upset at that time, he was angry, and also he did not have anything to give them. And the reason for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's anger could have been simple, that there were people who were coming and presenting false excuses. People who he was counting on were coming and saying, "We cannot go for this reason and we cannot go for that reason." So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was angry at that time. And so when Abu Musa comes and asks, "Please provide us with rides," what does that mean? "Oh, we can't go, but if you have something, sure, we'll go." So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was angry at that time. Okay. And in his response, he showed it. Now, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, he got really sad because on the one hand, he had been refused. And that meant he would not be able to go for jihad fi sabilillah. And on the other hand, he saw that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was upset. And he thought the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was upset with him, whereas the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was actually upset about something else. So he went back to his friends and he told them about what had happened. Now, a short while after, Bilal radiallahu anhu called him, that come, respond to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's calling you. So Abu Musa went right away, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him several camels so that Abu Musa and his friends, all of them, could use those camels for jihad fi sabilillah. So now what happened? He took those camels and he went to his friends and he told them. And now they're like, okay, one moment you were telling us the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was angry and he said, "By Allah, I will not give you anything." And now you are bringing these camels. What's happening? So he told them that, "Look, I am being truthful over here. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to me first. And then he gave me the camel. So if you don't believe me, go and ask the people who were witnesses." So they went, and the Sahaba who had witnessed that, the first time that Abu Musa had come, and then the second time that he was called, they told them that, yes, this is exactly what happened. So they took the camels. Now, there's another hadith in which we learned that when they took the camels and they were riding the camels, they felt a lot of guilt in their heart. And they thought, "Wallahi la yubaraku lana. we will not be blessed in this, in riding these camels. Because when we asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for animals to ride on, he swore an oath. He said, Wallahi, I will not give, because he did not have, right? But he swore an oath that he will not give, and then he gave. So maybe the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forgot about his oath, right? And we should at least remind him of his oath. So what happened? Abu Musa went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and told him, reminded him. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I am not the one who gave you these mounts. It is Allah who gave them to you, right? Because it was not coming from his personal property. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was just a distributor. And when he had said, by Allah, I will not give you, he was referring to himself, right? And also, if you think about it, at that time, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was angry, right? And in the Quran, we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not hold you accountable for بِاللَّغْوِ فِي أَيْمَانِكُمْ, any oaths that you do not intend, unintentional. And when a person is angry and they take an oath, of course, that oath is unintentional, right? Because they're angry, upset in that moment, which is why they have said something so strongly. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam clarified that by Allah, if ever I take an oath to do something, and then I find something else that is better to do, then I will give the kafara for my oath, and I will do the thing that is better. And how beautiful was the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And sometimes what happens is that a person says something, right? And then later on, they find that it is better to do something different from what they had said. But because of their ego, they stick to their word. And we should not be like that. If you say something, all right, even if you took an oath, and you said that you would do something or not do something, and later on you find a better option, then don't be too arrogant over there. No, give the kafara and do something else that is better. All right? And we also see over here the honesty, the sincerity, the dedication of the companions. SubhanAllah. And they didn't exempt themselves just because they did not have the means of transportation. They asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when there was initial refusal, they were so sad about it. They were crying. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appreciates those tears so much. He mentions them in the Quran as an example for us. That how do we feel when we ever get left behind from doing something good? Is there any sadness? Is there any sense of deprivation? Is there any desire for good? Because if those feelings are there, then the reward is counted. And inshallah, tawfiq will also come. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا السَّبِيلُ. Indeed, the cause for blame is only عَلَى الَّذِينَ يَسْتَأْذِنُونَكَ. It is against those who seek permission from you. وَهُمْ أَغْنِيَا, while they are rich. إِنَّمَا السَّبِيلُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ يَسْتَأْذِنُونَكَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further clarifies that the cause for blame, the path for reproach, is only against those who seek permission from you, meaning to stay behind from battle. While, وَهُمْ أَغْنِيَا, while they are wealthy. أَغْنِيَا is a plural of غَنِي. غَنِي is someone who has wealth, who is independent. They have what they need. They don't need to ask anybody. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already given them what they need. Okay? وَهُمْ أَغْنِيَا. So when they ask permission to remain behind, they're blameworthy. Why? Because رَضُوا بِأَن يَكُونُوا مَعَ الْخَوَالِفِ. They have no excuse to stay behind. They're capable of going. Yet, what is it that they are pleased with for themselves? That they should be مَعَ الْخَوَالِفِ. That they remain with the women who remain behind. And the only reason why they're content with something so shameful is because وَطَّبَعَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ. And Allah has set a seal upon their hearts, so now no good can enter, nor can they perceive what is in their true interests, and so no good action comes forth either. فَهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ, so they do not know. Meaning they do not know what is good for them, what is bad for them, and this ignorance is a punishment for what they committed. They no longer know. فَهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. And this shows us that knowledge, awareness of what is good for a person, what is bad for a person, what is in a person's worldly and religious interests, this knowledge is taken away from a person on account of their making such poor choices. So avoid making excuses to stay behind from things that are pleasing to Allah. Especially avoid false excuses, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything. And this ayah teaches us that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made you wealthy, has made you capable, then don't be content with staying behind among the ranks of those who are not capable. Rather, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you the means, then devote yourself. Devote your time, your wealth, your service for the religion of Allah. Let's listen to the recitation of these verses.
ليس على الضعفاء ولا على المرضى ولا على الذين لا يجدون ما ينفقون لا يجدون ما ينفقون حرج إذا نصحوا لله ورسوله ما على المحسنين من سبيل والله غفور رحيم ولا على الذين إذا ما أتوك لتحملهم قلت لا أجد ما أحملكم عليه تولوا وأعينهم تفيض من الدمع حزنا ألا يجدوا ما ينفقون إنما السبيل على الذين يستأذنونك وهم أغنياء رضوا بأن يكونوا مع الخوالف وطبع الله على قلوبهم فهم لا يعلمون.
Somebody's asking about the kafara that the Prophet ﷺ gave at this occasion. First of all, remember that the Prophet ﷺ made it clear that he had not broken the oath. All right? How so? He said that it is not I who gave you the camels, it is Allah who gave you. Right? And in his oath, he had said, by Allah, I will not give. Okay? So the camels came not from the Prophet ﷺ's personal property, but they came in the wealth that was dedicated for jihad fi sabilillah, and from that the Prophet ﷺ distributed a portion, and he gave that to Abu Musa al-Ash'ari and his companions. And then the Prophet ﷺ further added over here and explained that yes, if I do ever make an oath to do something or not do something, and then later on I do find a better option, then I go with the better option. I give the kafara and I go with the better option. And this is, for example, at one point that this happened in the life of the Prophet ﷺ was when he took an oath that he would not have honey again. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed that لِمَ تُحَرِّمُ مَا أَحَلَّ اللَّهُ لَكُ and then قَدْ فَرَضَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ تَحِلَّةَ أَيْمَانِكُمْ that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already taught you as to how to undo the oaths that you have made. And that is that you give the kafara. Okay, the expiation for an oath. All right. So inshallah, we will conclude over here. Very beautiful verses, something to reflect over on a day-to-day basis, but especially when there are opportunities of doing good, whether it is fasting on recommended days, voluntary acts of worship. A lot of times we just exempt ourselves and we say, oh, I can't do this because of this reason or that reason. Don't be of those who constantly remain behind. Come forward in the way of Allah. And if you always exempt yourself and always stay behind, then may Allah protect. We might become of those who are left behind. Yes, taking that first step is always challenging. It is scary. But when a person goes forward, the help of Allah also comes. SubhanAllah, I was thinking today, alhamdulillah, we completed 10 juz and it took a long time. SubhanAllah. I remember when I was making this commitment that, okay, every Saturday, and I'm sure you had similar thoughts, that every Saturday you have a class and it could go for many, many years. It's a scary thought, right? That such a long commitment, but alhamdulillah, slowly, gradually, you get somewhere. And yes, the journey has not been perfect or easy, but with the help of Allah, you get somewhere. And we ask Allah to accept our broken efforts and to forgive us for wherever we have fallen short. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to give us tawfiq. And I pray that inshallah we're able to complete this journey with ihsan. With ihsan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us tawfiq. May the Quran always be a part of our lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you all good health and the strength of heart, firm resolve to continue, and may we all complete this journey together, inshaAllah. Barakallahu feekum. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.